tonight. We're looking in Psalms chapter number 78 in your Bible tonight. Psalm 78 in your Bible. And I'm going to focus in on verse number 41 and get my text tonight as far as my title for the message. And then I'm going to be looking throughout this chapter to give you the thoughts that the Lord's laid on our heart for tonight. If you found your place in Psalm 78, look at verse number 41 with me. And if you will, let's stand together and we'll read just this one verse and we'll pray and ask the Lord to help us. And then you can be seated, all right? Verse number 41, Psalm 78. The Bible says, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." They limited the Holy One of Israel. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we want to bow before you and ask you, dear Lord, God, to help us tonight. Lord, we're praying, God, that you'd help me, Lord. Give me the ability to be able to preach tonight. God, that you might fill me with your Spirit. Help me, dear Lord, to say everything that you would have me to say, everything that you would say, or the Apostle Paul or Peter, if they were here tonight. Help me, dear Lord, to have unction and power, for Lord, I realize if I could say everything right and do everything seemingly correct, God, you don't touch it, there won't be anything done tonight. So, Lord, we pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would apply unction to the words that proceed from the pulpit. God, that you deal in hearts tonight. Lord, it's our heart's desire to see somebody get saved. It's our heart's desire to see the saints of God strengthened tonight. So, Lord, we ask these things and pray these things for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I'm dealing tonight out of this verse. And I looked here and I found that they had limited the Holy One of Israel. And of course, we're speaking of God. They had limited God here in this verse number 41. Now, when I read this, I thought, how did they limit God? How can you limit God? We're talking about the one that spoke the world into existence. With his mouth, he spoke the universes, all the stars that men are still trying to count, and all of the planets and everything. He just spoke, and they became. And how can you limit something as powerful as God? But he tells us in this chapter how they did it. And I want to deal with that here in just a few minutes. Now, I'll tell you a little bit, give you a little illustration before we get started. And so that you can kind of understand what I'm dealing with. Our church has a tent ministry. And amongst other things that the pastor talked about, we try, when we don't have a meeting, we try to just make a meeting. Amen. We'll take our tent, we'll set it up. And we've got a pretty good sized tent, a lot of chairs, and we'll go from place to place, find us a good level field, and we'll just throw it up. And boy, we've been blessed of God to see some folks saved and churches get help. But a while back, a few years ago, we had the opportunity to take it over into Cleveland, North Carolina. Brother Ron Young, you know him, they got a church over there. And they were just small little church, run about 75, 80 folk. A big day would be maybe 90 or 100. And I remember we took our tent over there. God blessed it, Brother Owens. I'm telling you, he got in that meeting. Several people were saved. And the meeting grew plumb out under the tent. And after that, he called me on Sunday and said we had over 200 people come on Sunday morning. And I said, praise God. And then we started coming back every year. It's been several years and people been saved every year. A couple of times, there's 38 one time and I think 19 on the, just God blessed it real good. The church grew and they had to build a big new building. Have you seen their big new building? Beautiful building. And he told me that they hadn't dropped much below 200 ever since that meeting. Now, I preached a lot of meetings, Brother Owen, but it don't always turn out that way. It was God that did that. It was God that moved in that meeting, amen, and caused those people to get saved and caused that church to grow. And so we give God all the glory. But now the reason I'm saying that is as I took that tent over there, and we had pretty much just drove around locally with our tent until we went over there. But we drove over there, and I had a little Ford truck, and it had one of them 5.4 Triton engines in it. And we were pulling our tent box, and now the tent box is heavy. I'm talking about heavy. And when we come off Asheville Mountain going on the other side, I'm telling you, it was all that little truck could do just to try to keep from running away. I mean, it was all that little truck with no more weight than it had. And we got over and had the meeting, and when I was packing it all up and getting it all back in the truck, we got all done, and I was fixing to pull out, and a man walked over to me, and he said, "Preacher, how you going to get this thing home?" And I said, "I'm going to pull it with this truck right here. It's a Ford truck." And he said, "You're going to pull Asheville Mountain with that truck, with that trailer behind it?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I want to see that. You call me and tell me about it." And sure enough, I thought, "Man, what's the matter with him?" So I got in that truck, fired off that 5.4 Triton engine. I said, "That thing will walk up that mountain." And sure enough, I started up there, and it was a good, hot, sunny day. And I noticed some cars pulled off the side and transferred trucks with steam rolling out of them. And I hit the bottom of that big mountain, buddy. I said, "Watch this thing." And it kicked back to third gear. It kicked back to second. It kicked back to first. It was whining and screaming, doing about 15. I thought, "Man, I'm going to blow this thing up." And so sure enough, I barely made it back to the house, and it never was the same after that. So I said, "I got to get me a truck." And so sure enough, God blessed me with a truck. I went over and seen this fella and traded that truck for a Ford diesel 250 four-wheel drive with a 7.3 diesel engine power stroke turbocharged. Now, I know, ladies, that didn't do nothing for y'all, but us men, that really helped us. You're feeling better already, ain't you, Brother Owen? I'm talking about a hoss of a truck. That thing got four doors on it. You can haul 15 people inside the cab on it. I'm telling you, the thing's a hoss. And it's got that high and low in it. I put it in low one time, scared me so bad I ain't put it in there since. I'm telling you, the thing's dangerous. But anyway, I got in that thing, and the next year I went out there with it. He said, "I see you got you a different truck." He laughed at me. And I said, "Yeah, I'm going to see how this one does it pulling up the mountain." Sure enough, boy, I hit the bottom of that mountain. And I'm telling you what, it just walked up through there. I was passing cars, that thing pulling all that weight behind it, probably 10,000, maybe 12,000 pounds. I just walked with it and just went on to the house. I said, "Boy, I like this truck." Yeah. A friend of mine, I was working at the tent meeting, a friend of mine come over, and he said, "Preacher, I see you got your Ford diesel 7.3. And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Have you done anything to it?" And I said, "Nah, I don't reckon. It's just a regular truck." And he said, "Well, I got something I want to give you." And I said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "All right, just give me a key." He said, I'll go do something to it." And I said, "Now, don't tear my truck up." And he said, "I ain't going to tear it up." He said, and he started grinning. He said, "Just let me go out there and borrow your key for a minute." I said, "All right." And so sure enough, he borrowed my key. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, so y'all just hold on. Hey, man, this is like a roller coaster. I'm click-clacking up one end. I'll be over it in a minute. Hey, man. So anyway, he said, "Pitch me your key." And I did. And Brother Doug Grant. And he said, he walked out of grin. And I thought, he's going to tear my truck up or something. And he walked outside, and he come back in. He pitched me the keys. And he said, "There." And I said, "What'd you do to it?" He said, "Oh, just let me know if you can tell any different." Well, anybody's had a diesel truck, they know that you go out there and start that big truck, it takes two batteries to start it, things to haul. I got in it, and I always, when you'd start it, it just go, "Raw, raw, 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 clack, 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 clack." I'm telling you, I'm feeling something right there now, ain't y'all? Clack, 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 clack. And, it's got a tack on it, but it just barely comes off of zero. Just clack, 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 clack. Well, I got out there in that thing, and he said, "See if you can tell any different." I put that key in there, and I turned it over, and when I hit it, it went, man, it was vibrating. I said, "Man, he has tore my truck up or something." And so I normally driving it, I've been driving it for a while, normally, about the first third of the pedal. Has anybody in here got anything like that? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? About the first third of the pedal, it wouldn't really do nothing. I mean, you could push an inch and it wouldn't do anything. It wouldn't even change nothing. So I was used to driving it that way. So I put it in reverse and I idled around through there and I waited on the car to go by and I pulled out like I normally would, right there from the print ministry. And I just pulled out like I normally would and gave it a little bit, and it spun all the way around the highway and slid me right back in the driveway. I jumped, throwed it up in park, and jumped out of it and looked at it like it was some kind of possessed something. And I ran back in and got Tim and Charlie and said, "Come out here and ride in my truck." See, I thought that thing was a horse.
But what he had done is he put a programmer chip thing on it. He got in there and programmed that thing. See, it had all that power the whole time. It had all of that power. And he told me, he said, I done my truck that way. And then one of his friends out there, church his pastor, he said, I done my truck that way. And he said, I took it down to Brainerd and outrun every Mustang down there to drag strip with it. Y'all think I'm joking, but crawl in that bad boy and I'll show you. I pulled out that thing and melted the tire off the back of it. I had Tim and Charlie, you know who I'm talking about? Tim and Charlie sitting in there. And I said, boys, come out here. Right? We've rode in your truck, preacher. I said, you ain't rode in this truck right here. And they said, yeah, we've rode. I said, go out there and get in it. And they got in. I fired that thing off. And they said, what's wrong with it? I said, I don't know, but watch this. And I pulled out and laid about a 200-foot black mark. Son, I felt like I was 16 again. Son, I'm telling you, black smoke, it was so black behind me, I'm telling you, you couldn't even see the church I went by. I whoa, son, I went down through there. I said, man, this is something. I pulled out the highway, melted the tire off of it, slung it sideways, 10,000-pound truck. I'm burning the tire on it. Man, I'm feeling young. I've got my hair blowing in the wind. Son, I'm telling you. I pulled up to the red light, and there's a... There was two of these little gnats. I call them gnats, but they little Toyota Honda little things with the muffler on them about that big around. They was racing down through there. And they passed me and they pulled over up at the red light. And one of them pulled up behind them. There's all three racing around. And I was sitting there and Tim said, I think you can take them, preacher. Son, I said, I don't know if I can or not, but I can tell they was racing. But they looking at each other, had their windows down. And I said, I think I can take them. I reached over and eased down on that gas and held the brake. And that one over beside of me, I'm telling you, I fogged him plumb out. You couldn't even see him. That light changed, and I run up on that one car so fast, had to slam my brakes on. They gave me a little bit of room, son, I fell. Oh, yeah, I was supposed to be preaching, wasn't I? Let's see, Psalms chapter number 78. Now what I'm trying to tell you is all that power, I'm telling you, it was over twice as powerful as it was before he programmed. He went in, all he did was plugged in this little thing, pushed a few buttons, unplugged it, and said, tell me if you notice any difference. Let me tell you something about God. Amen. God wants you to get plugged into Him. Amen. And He wants you to let Him have unlimited power. So I'm going to preach this a little while on. Unlimited God. Unlimited God. So that Brother Troy down there, he said, preacher, it'll go even faster if you put a chip in there on top of that programmer. I said, don't touch it. I can't even hardly drive it now. So that tells me that it's got even more power. And then somebody else said, yeah, if you'll put a chip on that programmer and you'll put your cold air intake on it, you'll get even more power. I said, there ain't no... He said, if you'll take the muffler off of it, run straight pipes out the back, you'll get even more power. I said, I don't want no more power. But see, God, the God that spoke this world into existence is the same God we've got today. The God that rolled back the waters of the Red Sea and let the people go is the same God we've got today. Well, He sure don't work like He did then. Well, I wonder why. Because He's been limited. It, Brother Owens, you've been preaching a long time. Is He just as powerful today as He always was? Brother Rackley, He's just as... That's right. Amen. These are y'all preachers? Amen. Well, I'm surprised y'all ain't running a lap. Be talking about that 7.3. Amen. And our hair blowing in the wind, brother. Son. 7.3, hair blowing in the wind. I'd have got a shout out of you over that. Amen. We'll pray for him. Unlimited God. I looked up the word unlimited, Brother Rackley, and this is what it means. It means to grieve or to quench. It also means to trouble or to cause pain to. If you need a word picture, I'll give you one. It means to bind the hands behind the back. It means to bind the hands behind the back. How can you bind the hands of God? How can you quench God? How can you grieve God? How can you cause pain to God? What is it that they done that troubled God so bad that He could not do what He wanted to do? What was it that these people in this day did that limited the most powerful, awesome thing we could ever imagine, which is very God? Well, as I read, I found out what they did. And I found out that, Brother Rackley, it's the same thing we're doing today. So let's look. Number one, I want you to look in verse number two. Verse number two of our scripture. The Bible says in verse number two in chapter number 78, we'll go ahead and read verse one. Give ear, O my people, who's talking? God. To my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And here's their answer. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we've heard and known of our fathers, that our fathers have told us here. And then it says in verse number four, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord in His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He has established a testimony in Jacob. Now here what I see is that they're saying, God, we're going to make sure that our children know about what You've done. We're going to make sure that we're not going to hide them from anybody. We're going to make sure that they know what great things You've done. But I go on down just a little bit and look in verse number 10 and verse number 11. Just a few verses. In verse number 4, man, they're fired up for God. Six verses later, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. And look at verse 11. And forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Number one tonight, they forgot to tell. Now that don't sound like that's real deep, does it? But that's what limited the Holy One of Israel. Why is it so quiet in here? Why was God limited? He was limited because The grown-ups, the men, the women that said they would never forget to tell their kids or children, amen, so that that generation would just continue to go, the Bible says they forgot. They forgot. They forgot to tell. You said, preacher, that surely wouldn't hold back the hands of God. Surely that wouldn't be what limited God. Oh, but yes. See, God has chose to work through His people in order to get this job done. And in America, amen, you're just going to have to say amen with me. I'll tell you why America's in as much mess as it is. It's because we're not telling it, amen, like they did many years ago. They forgot to tell. I'm looking in verse number 2. They forgot to tell the sayings of old. Now, I'll be honest with you, we're finding so much new stuff. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't believe God's involved in the new stuff. I believe He wants the old story told exactly like it was. He don't want nothing new put on it. I believe God still wants it told out. This old book right here, for the English-speaking people, amen, this King James Bible is the one you ought to be preaching out of. The old saying. I've had preachers come by our church, and boy, they like it how we're like this church. We want to praise God. We want to shout. We want to testify. And they'll say, preacher, we love it around here. You know what? Hey, it's amazing, preacher. If you just change a few things, you could run hundreds. I said, what kind of things you talking about? Oh, if you just change your being so strong about the King James Bible. If you just change on being so dogmatic about some issues, about the blood and about some things, if you just back off a little bit on some standards in your church, and if you just allow them to sing the new music and the rap songs and stuff like that, well, you'd have hundreds. Well, let me tell you something. God ain't interested in people coming to just be entertained. God ain't interested in them coming if His hands are going to be tied. If He's going to be grieved and quenched and troubled, amen, there's not going to be nothing done. So then they forgot to tell what? The sayings of old. You know what they were supposed to be doing? They were supposed to be rehearsing over and over and over to the children the great things God had done when He brought them out of Egypt. Amen. They're supposed to be telling them about the blood and the Passover and all these things. Amen. He's supposed to be telling them about all the plagues, about the Red Sea, about how God led them through the night and through the day. And all those things were supposed to be rehearsed, if you would, told over and over and over and over again. And in verse number, I believe it's verse number 2 or 3, they said, we'll not forget. We're going to tell them. Yeah. 6 verses later, yeah. They wasn't telling it the old way. And that's where we're at today. All that power. All the power of God. Now, according to this verse, verse 41, is limited. It's limited. That means He can only do so much. He can only do so much in helping their children. Why? Because they hadn't done their job in telling it. Might as well preach while I'm here. How about you at home? How long has it been, Dad, since you sat down with your kids and just had a conversation about God? How wonderful it is. Do you have family devotions at home? Do you read your Bible to your children? Amen. Maybe somebody works in the school system. How long has it been since you talked to somebody about the Lord Jesus? You say, I can't do nothing down on the job. They'll fire me. Do they really fire you? Do they? Have you been fired for it? Well, that's what everybody says. Well, what if they're wrong? What if they lied? How long has it been since you handed somebody a gospel tract? How long has it been? How many have you won? Hey, man, we'll forget about this last month, but in the whole year of last year, how many did you win? How many did you win? Surely 10 or 15 apiece. You are going to let me come back, ain't you? I'm trying to encourage you. If you want to know why God is limited, it's because we forgot to tell. Oh, now I'll be honest with you. When we come into this building, you come down to Victory Baptist Church, you go over to Brother Andy. Hey, man, let's get up and tell them. Testimonies in here are wonderful. Testimonies out there are even better. The people you work with, do they know you're saved? I'll tell you what happened to me. When I got saved, I really got saved. When I got saved, I'm telling you, I was in. Amen. I mean, that verse that said, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new, that was immediate. And when I got saved, I went back to work the next day. We had filthy mouths and told dirty jokes and everything. But when I got saved, the next day, I had the guy come running up to me to tell me the newest dirty joke he'd heard. And you know what I did? I said, wait a minute, I don't want to hear it. He started telling his dirty joke. And I said, wait a minute, tears running down my face. I said, wait a minute, I got saved. Jesus saved me. Man, it blowed his mind. He backed off like I had some kind of plague or something. Somebody said, if I get saved, do I have to separate from my friends? No. They'll take care of that for you. Amen. They forgot to tell. How many of you told this week? Who did you tell? You don't have to be a preacher to tell. Hey, listen to me. I read something a while back. I don't know how many people they talked to about it. They didn't ask my wife, but they did a poll of some kind, and they were talking about that most children, it's their mama that leads them to the Lord Jesus. Hey, Mom, what about your kids? What about your kids? Do you spend time talking to them? Do you spend time telling them about the stories in the Bible? Hey, do you spend time telling them what God's done for you? Hey, man, how He saved you and how He changed your life and how everything. Hey, Dad, how long's it been since you pulled little Junior over to the side and started just telling him how thankful you are that you're saved? How God. I'm not talking about just here. I'm talking about out there. If you want to know why God's not working like we think He should, in America, it's because He's limited. just like that Ford truck with that big International 7.3 diesel turbo engine in it. That thing's got enough power. That one guy told me, said, hey, if I do any more to it, it's going to strip transmission, throw drive shaft out, money, tear rear ends out from the back of it. See, it's got more power. It's got more power, but I've got it limited. Limited power. I've got to hurry. Look here. Not only how they forgot to tell the sayings of old, but they forgot to show the praises of God. Look at this. In verse number 4, we will not hide them from their children. And then it says, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. The praises of the Lord. Showing of praise. Have you forgot to show praise? Why is it that it's only two or three people usually that praise God?
That's a good question.
Why is it that usually after the preacher gets done, it's the same three or four that makes their way down here to the altar and praise and asks God to help? Why is it that it's just three or four? I know it may get quiet, but I didn't come up here to entertain you. I come up here to preach to you because I care about you and I love you. And I want to see you have unlimited God. Wouldn't you like to have unlimited God? Unlimited God. I don't know, Brother Owens, if I've ever experienced unlimited God. Boy, I'd like to, though, wouldn't you? Unlimited God. God doing everything in my life He wants to do. But I found out what limits Him is. One, they forgot to tell the sayings of old. They forgot to show the praises of God. Hey, you want? It's more than just come on in here and how about you? Does anybody want to praise God? And two or three. It's more than that, church. It's more than that. Hey, man, if you want God to show up, and I'm gonna be honest with you now, y'all have got one of the greatest preachers around that I know of. And I don't say it everywhere I go. I'll be honest with you. I love him. Amen. I've never heard him preach one time that he didn't just knock it plumb out the park. Now, I'm not saying that trying to get another meeting. I'm just telling you, you got a good preacher. Y'all know you got a good one. They all ain't like him. But be honest about it. There's been times when you've got up here and preached and you, man, give it everything you had and God didn't show up. Is that right? I mean, you gave it, you preached until your guts was hurting. Hey, man, you preached your throat sore, Brother Owens. You knew you had God's message. You'd prayed through the night. You had it. You'd studied it. You had it. It was burning in you, and you preached it, and God really didn't show up. Y'all got a good choir, brother. Praise God for that choir. Amen. But have you ever seen them get up yonder and sing, and they sung, and they got done, and they sang all the songs right, and they sung every one of the verses right, and the piano player didn't miss a key, and they didn't miss a verse, and the song leader slapped his hands and did every movement right, and then you went and sat down, and God didn't show up. I'm talking about the choir singing and God didn't show up. One of the greatest men of God I know got up and preached and knew he was preaching God's message and God really didn't show up. But let me ask you a question now. Let me ask you, and y'all just think about it for a minute. Have you ever come in here and somebody got up and started testifying and just got in the glory? I'm talking about tears flowing. Somebody else got up and said, preacher, I can't stand out about the bust. I can't help it. I got to talk about God. And man, all of a sudden, there was two or three and then four or five. And you know what? It wasn't but just a few minutes now. Hey, man, that all of a sudden, God showed up. You know why? He inhabits praise. You go to bragging on Jesus and God, the Holy Ghost, will come in this place. Now, I know I can say it for sure that I believe there's been times when the preachers got up here and preached and he knew God showed up because of the preaching. And there's no doubt there's been times when y'all was singing in the choir and God showed up. And you know God showed up in that singing. Amen. But I'll tell you, if you'll really praise God, He'll show up every time. Every time. Hey man, why did you come tonight? Did you come to see the reed shaking in the wind? That's what Jesus asked. Why'd you go see John for? What was you looking for? To see a reed shaking in the wind? A little old weed moving back and forth. Is that what you went to see? Did you go to just see John and him perform? Why did you come? I tell you, if you come because you wanted to praise God, you young people, listen to me. Brother Allen says that if you'll be like kindling wood and let God spark in you, it can blow out and these old logs will get caught on fire and this place will have revival. Move across this county and across this country. It don't have to begin with somebody 60 years old, young people. It can start with you. You know what you ought to do, young ladies? You ought to just settle it in your heart that every time you walk in this place, you're going to pray, you're going to get God on you, and when you come in, you're going to stand up and praise God. I've been in some great meetings, and I've been in some that wasn't. And you know what the difference was? The difference was whether they praised God or whether they didn't. I preached to some churches and their choir, they did that round mouth choir. Ooh, you know what I'm talking about? Ooh. Ooh. Oh. Ooh. Oh. Oh. And I've been in some places where the building was so beautiful you could fit five of these in them. Crowds, massive crowds, and men sitting on stages and got their everything about them just exactly perfect and grand. They're $500 suits and man, they probably know more than I'll ever know in my life. And God wasn't in it. Oh, God have to be in it if you had that. God, it have to be in it if all them doctors sitting on the stage with all that. No. But I'll tell you what, I've been in somebody, just a little old church, it's 5 or 18 people or something like that, and all of a sudden Granny get up and start shouting on God, and that little bun back there in the back start getting loose, and she get to shouting and it falling down, and that snot rolling out the side of that old guy's lip, and amen, and everybody get to crying, and everybody get to standing up, and they'll have to, I got to tell, let me tell, It wasn't. Has anybody got a testimony? Does anybody want to praise God? Come on now. Is there anybody? Anybody thankful? Anybody want to tell anybody about how good God's been? Anybody? No? Come on. Anybody? Come on. Anybody? Can anybody brag on God? Can anybody tell something good God's done? Can anybody praise God? Come on. Come on now. Come on. How about you, sir? How about you? No, not me. How about you? No. How about you? No. And you want to know why God's not working like He used to? Oh, why don't He do what He used to? Because you got His hands tied. How did you tie the hands of God? You forgot to tell. You forgot to praise Him, amen. You forgot to praise Him. That's introduction. Y'all ready? No, not only the sayings of God, they forgot to tell the sayings of old. They forgot to show the praises of God. They forgot to show the strengths. Look at the scriptures. And His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. If you'll get your mind focused back on the wonderful works that He hath done. Amen. If you want to know why, listen to me now. If you want to know why, you can come to church and you can sit and you can go home and you can come and you can sit. You can go home and nothing ever really stirs in your heart. Let me tell you something. You forgot about the wonderful works of God. Listen to me. You've got to get your mind focused back on God and the wonderful works of God. Amen. The wonderful works of God. The miracles God has done in your life. Amen. Man, I'm telling you what. I love it here. Amen. I feel like I'm preaching to my people. Amen. Amen. I love coming up here because, hey, there are some that will stand up and shout. There are some that will praise God. There are some that are thankful. Amen. The choir does get up and have God on it. Amen. I like it all. Number two. I ain't got but 84 points, so y'all just hold on. Not only they forgot to tell, but look at verse number 22 with me. They failed to trust. In verse 22, the Bible says, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. They failed to trust God. Listen to me. If you want to really bind the hands of God, this is one of the greatest bindings or limitings of God, is you doubting.
Because of their unbelief. If you want to know why they walked around 40 years in the wilderness, because of their unbelief. If you want to know what pleases God, it's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God's saying, I want to use you and I want to do something great in you. I want to do something that the people can see and they'll come to me because of your light. But you doubt. It's a preacher, I can't help that. How come? How come you can't help that? They failed to trust. Look at the scripture. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. Now, these are the very ones He brought out. Let me tell you something. I know some people, and every time we have a revival, they get saved again.
Yeah.
And again, there's one boy in our church, he's got saved 14 times. Seriously. I wrote it down. 14 times. Every time Brother Sammy Allen comes, or every time Stan at Blue comes, or whoever it is, it don't matter. He's probably made a profession or two when you've come down on Saturday night. I'm serious. Am I telling it right, Linda? 14 times he's made professions. You want to know why God can't use that young man? Because he's doubting what God has done or what God can do. You say, preacher, I don't want to limit God. Let me tell you something. God can't do anything. You've got Him tied. You've got Him limited. You've got Him grieved. You've got Him quenched. You've got Him troubled. You're causing pain to God because you will not put full trust in Him. Oh, I believe He'll take me to heaven. But what about now? Is He big enough to help you through right now? Can He get you through your problems right now? Amen. No matter what. You know what God wants to do? Whatever your situation is. He wants to take you through it with such power and such mercy and grace. And He wants to bring you through that people will just, their mouths will fall open. They'll be in awe of how God has brought you through. He wants you to be a light so that the whole world can see your works and glorify the Father. But if you're doubting, they failed to trust God, the God that brought them out of, the God that did all those great, wonderful, mighty, wonderful works in them. They began to fail to trust God. It don't take much anymore for a person that's seemingly on fire for God to get out completely and not even come back. A few little things can happen. A few situations can happen in their life. And they've done quit on God. And you never would have dreamed they would have. Never. I go from church to church. And I come in sometimes. And I say, what about that man that you sit over right over here, Pastor? And he'll say, he's out. No way. I never would. I'm talking about the one that run laps. Yeah. He's out. Now, no way! I'm talking about the one that stood on the pew and cried and said God was the greatest thing ever happened to him. Where's he at? And they said, well, he gone. They failed to trust God. You want to limit God? Fail to trust Him. And you'll limit God. He can't do what He wants to do in your life because you have failed to trust Him. Let me give you number three, and I'll be done here in just a minute. Look at verse number 36. Not only did they forget to tell, they failed to trust, but they flattered with their tongue. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth. They did flatter Him. Flatter Him with their mouth. Flatter. Why, Brother Henry, I can go in our area and knock on the door. Somebody will come to the door. They'll open it up. The stench of marijuana will roll out the door when they open it. You can look beside them and see the beer can sitting on the coffee table. You can see the smoke rolling off of their dope. And you can see the horrible magazines laying there on the table. And you can see the ungodly wickedness they're watching on TV or maybe on the computer that's over to the side. And you can say, sir, we've come by here to talk to you about the Lord Jesus. And he'll look at you about half doped out of his mind and say, oh, Jesus. Why, I couldn't make it one day without the Lord.
He's wonderful, ain't he? He's the greatest thing. He's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Why, without him, I wouldn't be able to make it a day. And I'd say, well, where do you go to church at, sir? Oh, I don't go. Sir, have you ever been saved? Oh, I couldn't do without the Lord. Ain't he wonderful? Jesus, the greatest thing. Well, let me tell you something about flattering God. You want to know what was limiting God? Hey, I'm telling you right here in the Bible. He said they flattered him with their tongue. They told him how great he was. But it was all with their tongue. It was all with their mouth. Hey, listen to me. Their son, when it comes to salvation, they just come down and say it with their mouth. It's not in their heart. It's not something that's going to change their life. It's just a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me and meet me in the baptistry. It's just a tongue thing. Here he said they flattered him with their tongue. What good is that? I'll be honest with you, it probably bothers God more when they're sitting there talking about how great he is, but they won't do what God is telling them to do. They won't keep anything or listen to and do anything that God's told them to do. Just with their mouth. Just with their mouth. God said with their mouth they profess to know God, but with their deeds they deny him. Been ungodly. Professing that they know God. But denying the power thereof, the unlimited power of God. Amen. Let me give you this now. Look here in verse number 36 again. It says, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. I see here they falsified the truth. They said things that weren't true. Well, God did this, and God told me that, and God, listen to me. They limited the Holy One of God, the Holy One of Israel. God was limited. God had his hands tied. God was grieved and quenched and troubled and caused pain because they falsified the truth. They wouldn't be honest in their heart. And that's what that verse says. And that verse right there, it says, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Their heart was not right. They had a lot to say with their lips, but their heart was not right. Amen. Let me tell you something. You can be saved. I'm talking about saved. Saved! And your heart not be right. You can bind the hands of God. And you can be telling everybody that you're right. Some little sins got involved in your life. Maybe it's some little something. Maybe down at the work, some girl's winking at you, smiling. Or maybe down on the job, some guy. Maybe at home while your husband's gone. You're watching something on TV you ought not to watch. And you get in your mind. You're on the computer at night or something, and something's got you pulled away from God. You're listening to the wrong music, young people. Listen to me. Hey, there's devils in that music nowadays. You want to know why these men are killing? You want to know why these people are running around shooting people and taking their clothes off and doing ungodly, wicked things? It's devils. It's real devils. Boy, you got to be careful nowadays. That rock music. That country music. Used to, when I was a boy, country music was just good old songs about mama and about a Ford truck and dog and and you went fishing and stuff like that. But it ain't like that now. Rap music? Retards attempting poetry? That's what somebody said that meant. They want to know why that we look at them so funny, but my goodness. Oh my goodness, how are you supposed to look at them? Their heart was not right, but they flattered God with their tongue. They flattered God with their tongue, but their heart was not right. Listen to me, sir. It's easy. I've done it. I've done this. Come to church. Sit on the pew. Smile. Stand up. Say something about God. Amen. Get in the choir. Sing a song. Amen. I've done it. And knew that something wasn't right. Saved, saved, no doubt about it, saved. But they something wasn't right. God said, well, I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to accept that praise today. I'm not going to accept that prayer today. I'm not going to accept that song today. I'm not even going to let you preach today and have my power on it. Till you untie my hands and let me be unlimited. Amen. Let me give you this last one and I'm done. They forgot to tell. They failed to trust. They flattered with their tongue. They falsified the truth. But look at verse number 38 and 39. And amongst all of that, why, if it was us, we'd give up on them and just squash them out. But instead, in verse number 38, But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh. God is so merciful. God is so compassionate. God is so loving that even though, sir, to be honest with you, we forgot to tell like we should. There's people all around us every day. We just ain't tell them like we should. God's so loving and wonderful that even though we flattered with our tongue, but our heart really wasn't right, God still is just waiting. He's waiting for you, listen, to come down and confess that and untie the hands of God and let Him have unlimited power in your life. Now here's the strong part. There's not very many people that wants unlimited God. I wonder how many in this building wants unlimited God. Now this is what it's going to have to do to get unlimited God. You're going to have to start telling. You're going to have to start telling. Listen to me. You're going to have to tell. You're going to have to tell them down on the job. If you want unlimited God, if you don't want quenched God, grieved God, you want unlimited God, then you're going to have to start telling them down on the job. Guys, I can't do that. I can't sit with you over there. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. And God ain't pleased with that. I can't go there anymore. I can't do that. You're going to have to turn some things off in your life.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have to quit doing. You're going to have to quit listening to some things. Y'all listen to me. Do we really want revival? Do we really want unlimited God? Well, it's going to cause you to have to, if you're going to have it, you're going to have to start telling it. You're going to have to start praising God. Well, preacher, that's where it's hard for me. Oh, I'm shy. You're looking at one shy feller right here. I am shy. It scared me to death when he said, are you going to sing a song? He said, are you going to sing? Come on up here and sing a couple songs with him. I'm shy. I am. When I was in school and they'd have book reports, oral book reports, I would wait till the last one. I'd hide. I'd get on the desk. I was scared to death. And I still am. But you're going to have to get over that shyness. You know what I found out? That being shy and worried that you're going to be embarrassed. You know what I found out that is? It's just pride. It's pride way down deep inside. And you're afraid if you stand up that somebody's going to turn around and laugh at you. And the only reason it bothers you is because your pride's too big. That's right. One day I realized it. One day I realized it. Man, I started going to church. We're sitting there, and one day we come home, and my wife helped me. She said, honey, she said, why don't you ever amen the preacher?
Uh-oh.
And I said, I do. You just ain't heard it.
Yeah.
She said, okay, well, I was just wondering. She turned around and walked off. And God said, yeah, why don't you amen? So I went to church the next Sunday. I've done it on purpose. You know, I found out I'm going to praise God on purpose. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to read my Bible on purpose. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do everything on purpose. On purpose. So I came to church the next week. Preacher got up, opened up the Bible, started reading it. When he got done, he started into his text. I said, amen. Boy, everybody in the whole place started around and looked like, what in the world is that? And they got done. I amen about 25 times. Then the song leader said, has anybody got a song? Anybody got a song? Now, we was in a little church and the bathrooms were back here. You had to go through on the stage and go out a door to go to the bathroom. And I got up. He says, anybody got a song? Anybody got a song? I got up and started up on the stage. My wife thought I was going to the bathroom. Probably when I got done, she wished I'd have went to the bathroom. I still remember what I sung. Didn't know how to play no guitar or nothing. I just got up. And this old guy wrote a song. It's called More Than My Share. More than my share of His mercy He gave me. More than my share of whatever, I can't remember. But I'll tell you what. I got up and I didn't care if I messed up. I didn't care if I stopped in the middle of it. I didn't care if I got every key just right. I didn't care if I could get high enough or low enough. I didn't care if I forgot the words. You know what I said? God, You saved me. And I'm willing to stand up and praise You and worship You. I don't care where it's at. So, Brother Rackley, I'm in a big meeting. Bunch of preachers over there. Whew, I'm not going to tell you where it's at. You might have been there. This church, you might have preached there. Bunch of people there, big names. And I'm sitting there, probably 500-600 people. Y'all might not believe this, but I'm fixing to be done. And I was sitting there in the crowd. There's this black lady come by our church, and she sung that song about, I feel good. I probably sung it here, didn't I? I was sitting there, and she'd get happy, and she'd stand up. She had this big old floppy hat. Looked like a homeless woman. She'd walk up and down. She looked like somebody you'd see down on the side of the road somewhere. Had this old long dress on, this big old coat, and she had this big old hat with a big feather sticking out at it. She's sitting about halfway back. She'd get filled up, and she'd jump up. I feel good, good, good. Boy, she'd have a time. I'm sitting there, and all them people. Man, that thing's packed out. And God said, stand up and sing that song. Now the Bible says, try the spirits to see whether they are of God. And I said, but God, them guys up on the stage, that's all them big name guys. That's all them big doctors, and this is a big church, and all them people and everybody in here. And he said, you love me? Get up and sing that song right now. I said, but Lord, they're taking up offering. This ain't time to sing song. He said, why don't you get up and sing that? So I just jumped up right in the middle of it. Wow! I feel good, good, good. I feel good down deep in my soul. When I think about Jesus, make me feel good. Ow! Good! Well, can you imagine? Y'all say, what happened? Well, when I first started, all those men, their mouth fell down. Security! Security. Security. But you know what happened? I got on that second verse. Sometime up, sometime down. When you come, I'm going to leave the crowd. And when I did that, man, all of a sudden, they started clapping. Ow! The whole crowd did. They're swaying back and forth. Oh, man, we had 500 people dealing with it. Had 500 people in there swaying back and forth. And preacher sitting there like, well, I never. I sat down, they swarmed me. Preacher, we want you to come to our church. Preacher, would you come sing that song for us? Brother Brian was there. He said, preacher, I want you to come to my Jubilee meeting. I said, I'll be glad to. He said, all I want you to do is sing that song. But you know what I did? I said, God, I am not going to bind you on this. Man, the whole spirit of that meeting broke loose. I'm telling you. I mean, everybody was so, I mean, their posture and everything. And buddy, when I got done, they was sitting down here like this. Ow! Hands all red. Some of them crying. People got up and started testifying, praising God. Two or three people took a lap. Everybody, I mean, it broke loose. And I thought, what if I hadn't done that? Now, was it embarrassing? What do y'all think? But I said, God, I'm not going to bind your hands. God, if that's what you want me to do, I will do it. What about you tonight? Now, I'm going to ask you a question now, and I'm fixing to turn it over to the preacher. But I'd like to ask you to search your heart and be honest now. Be honest. Have you got unlimited God? Is there anything in your life that's binding God? Is there anything in your life that is quenching God or grieving God or causing God not to be able to work fully and freely through you? And then here's the second question. Do you want it? Brother Doug Grant come back to me and he said, Preacher, said, you want me to take that programmer back off your truck? I said, don't even touch my truck. I said, I like it. I like it. And I like having unlimited God. And you know what, Brother Owens, I'll be honest with you. When I do something wrong, I can tell it. When I think something, I can tell it. When I see something I shouldn't see, I can tell it. And immediately I want to say, God, please, God. Oh, God. God, I don't want to lose that power. Oh, God, I don't want you to be limited in my life. Please forgive me. And according to that verse, he says, but he had compassion. I wonder tonight if there's anybody that even wants unlimited God. Are we living in a day where nobody even wants unlimited God anymore? Can we find a people that be willing to call out to God and say, God, oh God, I want unlimited God. I want power with God. I want to be able to tell somebody. I want to be able to show somebody. I want to put aside myself and my flesh, and I want to live for you. I want to show somebody how that God can do something in my life. Is there anybody in here that wants unlimited God? See, it's up to you. And if you don't have unlimited God, and I'm going to be honest with you, it's so easy to limit Him. God can say, hand that girl there at the Taco Bell drive-thru window a track. And you'll come up with an excuse of why not to do it. She is too busy, or she didn't have time, or you couldn't find one that wasn't crippled, being up, or, and you'll end up pulling out there. And you've limited God. He wanted to save that little girl. He wanted to save that little girl, but you limited him. Wouldn't it be something to have unlimited God? And you know what? Whether your husband wants unlimited to God or not, you can have it. Whether your wife wants it or not, you can have it. Hey, young people, hey, you can have it. Unlimited God. You want to know why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could go down in the fire and come out and not even smell like smoke? Because they had unlimited God. They didn't doubt God. When they're fixing to throw them off in there, they said, well, we're not going to be careful about this. Whether we live or not, we ain't going to bow. What about Daniel going in that lion's den? Unlimited God. Do you have unlimited God? And do you want it? Do you want it? Preacher's praying back here. Pastor's praying. How about it? Do you want unlimited God? Can God trust you with more power? Can God give? Can God put more on you than what you've got now? I'm not trying to be some charismatical, Pentecostal, something or other. I'm telling you, can God put more power in your life? And do you want it? Do you want it? Please don't flatter him with your tongue. And down inside you're already saying, oh, I know I've got it. I've got it, God. I've got that unlimited power. I know I'm not binding you in any way. Please, please don't do him that way. The time to get it is now. This generation needs you so bad. They need to see God in you. They need to see somebody. Somebody that's got unlimited power. Now, I don't know, I wasn't there, but I read something that said one of the greatest revivals that ever swept across the world started with a little girl. A little girl that just said something about God loving her and she loved him. And it took off and spread across the world. I mean, huge. Hundreds and even thousands are saved, according to what I read, because a little girl got filled up with God. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be even adult to have unlimited God. I'm done, preacher.